Hello, I'm Tom Weber. Thanks for listening to NPR News here on the radio or online or on our podcast. Coming up, we're going to talk about the first year out of prison, including some of the challenges and barriers for those people who just have left prison. We're going to be telling that through the story of one man who spent 17 years behind bars for murder, and he tells me he's had triumphs too, so I want to hear about that as well. But first, this is a really big weekend in Minnesota. If you didn't grow up with the deer hunting opener as a thing, you probably don't have a true sense of how important this is for some families in Minnesota. Is your family more likely to be all together for deer opener weekend or Thanksgiving? I think you'd be interested in some people's questions or answers to that question. So as hunting season opens and as many as a half million of you head out there, I want to talk a little bit about how wildlife officials manage deer populations in the state, because there's a really big picture thing going on that I think you'll be interested to hear about as well. Steve Merchant is the wildlife populations manager over at the Minnesota DNR and joins me now here in studio. Steve, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Setting the deer season numbers and regulations seems to be the kind of job where you can do no right by some people, right? It seems like that's always going to be a point of contention at some point in the sportsman's community.
Right. I would agree with you. There's a wide spectrum of points of view regarding deer and deer numbers, and so everyone has an opinion, and we usually hear about it.
And you hear about them. Well, feel free to call in. Actually, I want to get a little big picture. If you have a beef with one of the specific regulations this year, that's not really the focus of this segment. I really want to talk about a bigger project that Steve and others are working on at the DNR. Give us a call, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at WeberTom1, and please don't call or text if you're driving. I came across this, Steve, in a recent issue of a publication from the DNR called Conservation Volunteer, and it was talking, your colleague Adam Murkowski was talking about this big deer plan you're working on that is beyond the usual yearly setting the deer hunting quotas and limits and things like that. You're going bigger. How?
Well, we're going bigger in the sense that we have a process where we've invited about 20 citizens to come and advise us on what the future of deer management, including deer hunting, should be in Minnesota. As you might recall, a while back, there was a legislative audit of our deer management program, mm-hmm. and one of the recommendations of that audit was to develop a statewide deer management plan that took in consideration all points of view. So that's what we're doing,
and it's it goes beyond the year to year, you know, work that you do to make sure that this weekend is a success and that you've set the numbers right based on biology and ecology. I mean, it's beyond that. It's to say, look, we want to think about this from a statewide perspective. Do I have that right?
Right. And the trick, if you will, is that there's really no right or wrong way to manage deer. And lots of people have points of view about that. So how do you reach consensus? Or how do you get your direction on how exactly you are going to manage that deer population?
So let's, before we go any further with this, and we're talking to Steve Merchant here from the DNR, 1-800-242-2828 if you have a question. If someone's listening and they are right now reaching for the dial because they don't hunt, they're not into the hunting thing. They don't really care that it's the deer opener. Why should they care? Why should they keep the radio on and hear about what's happening here at the state level?
Well, I think, you know, nearly everyone who lives in Minnesota is one way or another affected by deer. If you drive a car, certainly in rural Minnesota, you can. Many people are affected by hitting a deer. If you are a farmer, or if you are a county land manager trying to grow trees to earn income for your county, or if you manage school trust lands to help fund schools, and deer can negatively impact forest regeneration and impact that. So deer are what we call a keystone species. They just affect lots of things, including people and a lot of other animals and plant species. So it's bigger than just about deer hunting. Yeah. Certainly the deer hunting, the recreational part of it is hugely important to us. They are the ones that basically fund our work. So you can't forget about that.
Yeah. And if you have a backyard with a garden, you might want to care about this too, right? Because you might have a deer strolling in every now and then.
Right, exactly. I live in a neighborhood where there's lots of deer, and if you're going to try to grow a garden, you have to have a big fence around it. There's just no alternative,
you know,
really.
Someone told me once, actually, that the suburbs in general are actually the perfect place for deer because it's where the forest ends, right? Because we've knocked it down to build a subdivision, and it's where flatlands and things like gardens begin. And so the suburbs are kind of Disney World for deer. Do I have that right or no?
Well, I don't know if I would go quite that far, but yeah, I think your point is well taken. It's that mixture of food cover and space, and suburbs are good places for deer. Deer do thrive in suburbs, absolutely.
So what are the kinds of things that you want to get out of this bigger picture plan beyond the normal course of things of setting the deer hunt every year and setting those numbers? I mean, what are the visionary things we're trying to answer here with this group, with this effort?
Well, I think what we're trying to reach consensus, I think, on sort of the overall direction of deer management. And I would say, Tom, that while our mandate, if you will, is clear, and we're given our authority by the legislature, that we do manage deer for everyone, and we're supposed to take into consideration not only deer, but deer habitat. There are people that have strong opinions and push you in directions that maybe don't completely jive with that. So I think part of it is getting people together and talking about that and explaining exactly what the department's role and responsibilities are in deer management, and hope that we can bring people closer together for agreement upon that.
Steve Merchant with us, the wildlife populations manager over at the DNR. Kyle here called us with a reminder. He used to be a deer hunter, and he says, if you have nothing to do with hunting, take note. If you're going out for a hike this weekend, wear the blaze orange. And Kyle's not sure that a lot of people who aren't into hunting remember that or know that. So if you're out just for a leisurely hike in a state park or somewhere, wear the blaze.
Right, that's good advice. And this year, if you like, you can wear blaze pink. That's legal for the first time.
That
this
was
year,
a new so. Thing, that's right. Let's go to Ben, who has a question here in La Crosse. Hi, Ben. What do you want to know from Steve?
Well, good morning. I'm originally a Michigander. I live in Wisconsin, but I've also lived in Minnesota. I'm a weekend pastor, so that's pretty much a good swath for us.
Right.
And I've hunted in every state. And I'm just curious, Minnesota's goes off much earlier than Michigan or Wisconsin's for the start of deer season. I'm just curious from a management perspective why you pick the opening times you do.
Thanks for the question, Steve.
Minnesota's been opening their firearms deer season on the Saturday closest to November 6th, I think, since 1959. So I was 2 years old at that time.
You didn't
so
have
I don't
a
have
say
a lot
in
of
that.
Insights into exactly why it is, but I think it's a combination of factors, including you want to have a season that's late enough that the crops have been harvested, but you want to have a season that's early enough that that a third of your state doesn't get completely snowed out and basically don't have access to the deer. And the other factor is, in all honesty, is that we do hunt in what's known as the rut or sort of the peak of breeding activity, and bucks are vulnerable. And back in the 50s, there were no special protections for antlerless deer. So one thing that could be done is you could hold a season when bucks were more vulnerable so that the bulk of your harvest was, in fact, bucks as a way to protect antlerless deer. And today we have different tools to protect antlerless deer. So, but that's kind of how it came about.
So let me, again, go back to Deer 101. Why do we allow hunting of deer? Is it for population control, or is it simply for the sportsman you know, this is a tradition, leisurely activity kind of a thing?
It's really for both of those things.
And I knew you would say that. So before you answer, is the answer to that question the same? Is the answer both, like you just answered, in every part of the state? Or is it different in different parts of the state?
Well, I think you could make an argument that it is different in different parts of the state. I think I know maybe where you're going with. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is the entire state has been dramatically affected by humans and what we humans do. And we don't have a full complement of predators in Minnesota. We have a better complement of predators in the northern part of the state. But we can't really rely on predation quote-unquote, keep the deer population in balance with nature. We have stepped in and kind of mucked up that system too badly to step back and not take any responsibilities for helping do that. So, you know, we could take a more passive approach and let severe winter regulate deer numbers. But, you know, that seems a little silly, to tell you the truth. You know, hunters do play an important role to help regulate that deer population. And it's just a huge, important cultural and economic activity.
Tourism, too.
Right.
And you noted also that the money you pay for your license and the fees there pay for, I think, your salary and the office you work with there at DNR. Is the goal of this big picture vision, so for example, in the last 15 years, the deer harvest in Minnesota has had, we had nearly 300,000 deer killed in 2003. That's 300,000. We were less than half of that, 139,000 in 2014. Is the goal to make that a little more even, or is that actually not part of the thinking?
I think in a sense it is to make it a little bit more even. I would argue that when we harvested 290 some thousand deer, we had too many deer on the landscape. I think most people agreed with that. There were severe impacts. So we developed some tools that allowed us to reduce that. Prior to that time, you could only shoot one deer in Minnesota. Now you can shoot statewide. You could shoot five if you travel
to the zone.
Right.
You have to go to each zone.
Right. So so we don't want to really, you know, our perspective would be is we don't want to have deer harvest that high or deer population that high. On the other hand, we do have to acknowledge that winter weather is something beyond the control of the Minnesota DNR.
Yeah.
And severe winter weather, we know, does have a very negative impact on deer populations, particularly in northern Minnesota. So we need to expect or to plan for that we will have winters that are going to negatively impact that deer population. So while we can't take away all of those peaks and valleys,
right,
I think we can strive for maybe having those peaks and valleys less severe.
Right, because if it's a really severe winter, in theory, more deer die, right?
And right, so more deer die, and then the deer that do survive, the does that do survive, are less productive.
And so then the next year, you have to have a smaller deer hunt because there are fewer deer out on the land.
Correct.
That's just one example of right. That's the calculations you have to make every year. So when you get this big plan together, right, and I believe it's next spring or something that you're going to do this. So once we have this, and again, it sounds kind of wonky and like this could just be a report that sits on the shelf, although I don't think it will be. If it's going to be the visionary statewide plan for how we manage deer, how will that then affect how you set the yearly deer hunt? Will we notice a big change in how you set the yearly deer hunt once you have this other bigger vision in place?
I think you will notice some difference. Clearly, one of the things that we've been hearing from our advisory group is that they, as being surrogates of the people of Minnesota, would like more input into those decisions, mm-hmm. and they would like to more clearly understand why we make those decisions. So I think a big change could be that the people are more engaged in that decision-making. Right now, we have a deer goal-setting process that does involve the public. where we try to bring the different groups together and reach a consensus on how many deer should be on the landscape. And I think what we're also looking for things in the plan to sort of validate that as a way that we continue to move forward. So it's not necessarily all going to be new things, but it will. There certainly will be new things.
Let me take one call here before we wrap up, Steve. Paul is on the phone, and I think you're on the way to hunting. Is that right, Paul?
Yes, correct.
What's your question here for Steve?
Just wondering specifically, we hunt in the northeastern Minnesota near Aurora Hoyt Lakes, east of Virginia, Minnesota, and I was wondering what the statewide plan might be specifically entails for that area of the state.
That'll be a big place of interest, not only because of hunting. You have wolves up there, you have moose up there, and they all interact. So do you have any answer for him at this time, or is it too early to know what northeast Minnesota might look out of this plan?
I think it is too early. I mean, it's premature for me. I just am more or less facilitating this group so we can have those discussions. I think it's fair to say that, however, though, that we do want to put a little more emphasis into making sure that the winter cover, the forest, has enough winter cover that we minimize that effects of winter. And also, I think the Minnesota DNR and hopefully the citizens of Minnesota still are going to be concerned about the moose population. And so we're going to manage deer, I think, still with that eye in that area of making sure that we take a precautionary approach toward moose.
Right. And I think the big theory there is that the ticks that affect moose and have potentially been part of why their population is going down also are carried by deer. So if you increase the hunting in that part of the state, maybe you thin out the deer a little bit. Maybe that helps the moose. But then that has ramifications on the wolves. I mean, it's all so interlocked there. You're talking about mucking it up for all those years. That's how it plays out. That's the stuff you have to figure out.
Right. I mean, these biological systems are very complex. And we certainly don't have all the answers or have a complete understanding of how these systems work, but we do our best with the knowledge that we have.
Paul, good luck with the hunt. Be safe out there. Wear the blaze for sure. And we had another call from Bob who says he owns land and people drive across my land too much during hunting season. So take note of where you're driving too. Watch out for the private property as well. Steve Merchant, thanks so much for coming over from the DNR and giving us some thoughts here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. I enjoyed it.